attitude. Amen. It's a camp meeting, right? A camp meeting will have the word of God taught. A camp meeting will have the... Don't worry, I'll flow with you. Don't worry, I'm good. That means we are going to walk together. Don't worry. We are going to walk together. Don't worry.
Okay, sir.
So, yeah, so,
amen, sir.
So sit down well. Amen. Don't worry. By the time I'm done, I'll be speaking more of the Swahili. You'll be speaking more of the English.
Amen, sir.
So you sit down. I said, in a camp meeting, the word of God is taught.
Neno la Mungu,
and the Spirit of God is given free room.
Na kwamba yule roho wa Mungu atakwenda kutembea kwa uhuru.
So we're going to have the teaching part.
Kwa tutakuwa tuna sehemu ya mafundisho.
And we're also going to have the Holy Ghost part.
Na pia tutakwenda kuwa na sehemu ya roho mtakatifu.
That is what a camp meeting is.
Ndio maana ya hii kambi.
I learned camp meeting from Kenneth Hagin.
Kwa hiyo hii tumeipata kutoka kwa Kenneth Hagin.
It's Hagin.
Hagin.
Except the Hagin is Swahili. Hagin.
Hagin.
Thank you. No. I learned camp meeting from Kenneth Hagin.
Tumeipata kutoka kwa Kenneth Hagin.
Who taught it from the word of God.
Ambaye ametufundisha neno la Mungu.
And that's the pattern we are going to follow.
Na hiyo ndio tutakwenda kuifuata.
Now Luke's Gospel chapter 24.
Katika ile kitabu cha Luka sura ya 20.
Luke's Gospel 24.
Luka 20 sura ya 24
and verse 49.
Na ule mstari wa 49.
Now before we get to Luke 24:49,
kabla hatujafikia Luka 49,
you know, anytime you read a book, anytime you read a book,
tunakwenda kwenye kitabu,
you need to read what was written. If you read a statement in a book,
ukisoma ile kilichoandikwa kwenye kitabu,
can I come downstairs?
Yeah, naweza nikaja chini.
I'm upstairs. I want to come downstairs.
Nataka nije chini.
I'm not Moses who stood on the mountain.
Sijazoea kukaa juu namna hii.
I want to come down.
Yes.
Like this. Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Feel better like this.
Najisikia vizuri hapa.
Thank you for telling them what I feel.
Amen.
Oh my God. The up is not too heavy. But I could just hang here, really. I like moving around. So Bible says the eyes of the Lord move to and fro. So I like just move it to this side. It's okay. It's okay. I'm fine like that. Thank you. Aha, I feel better. Okay, I said when you read a book,
unaposoma kitabu,
and you are reading the end of the book.
Na unaposoma kule mwisho wa kitabu,
you know you have to look at what led to the end of that book.
Lazima usome kule mwanzo ambako kumeandikwa nini mpaka pale.
Now
kuelekea kuandikwa pale chini.
That verse 49,
ile 49
was a whole chapter. There was a whole chapter.
Kulikuwa kuna sura nzima.
A chapter when Jesus rose from the dead.
Ile ilikuwa wakati Yesu amefufuka.
And his disciples were not sure he had been raised from the dead.
Na wale wanafunzi wake walikuwa hawaamini kama kweli ameokoka.
So he appeared to some of his disciples.
Kwa hiyo alitokea kwa mmoja wa watumishi wake.
From about verse 14.
Ukisoma kuanzia mstari wa 10 na
and they were talking.
Walikuwa wakiongea.
And he got into their midst.
Na akaenda kati yao.
And he asked them, what manner of communication is this?
Akawauliza, kwani mnaongea kuhusu nini?
And they looked at him like, are you coming to this place for the first time?
Wakamwambia, je, wewe ndio mara ya kwanza unakuja kwenye mji huu?
It's on CNN.
Kwa sababu CNN.
It's on CNN.
Kwa sababu CNN.
My senior. Sorry, eh? I have to greet people like that. so that they will allow me into their country the next time I'm coming. So, how are you? All right. So, CNN. I'm talking about CNN. Right?
Yes.
CNN. That show is CNN.
Yes.
CNN. Mm-hmm. So, they're wondering, was it not on CNN? Didn't you see it on Facebook? They said, well, it's concerning a man, Jesus.
Kuhusiana na mtu Yesu.
Yeah, and it said he was crucified, he was buried.
Ame teswa, ame zikwa.
Said, we are trusted.
Kwa hiyo tunaamini.
Verse 21.
Mstari 21.
We are trusted.
Tunaamini.
If you have been he.
Angekua.
That will redeem Israel.
Angeweza kuikomboa Israel.
But this is the third day.
Lakini this is the third day.
Except some women came back with some stories.
Kuna wanawake wamekuja na hadithi hadithi.
You know women's stories.
Unajua wanawake maneno.
Maybe they are just emotional.
Unajua wako na hisia.
And they were seeing things that they should not
na wanaona vitu ambavyo havionekanagi wana.
They claim they saw him.
Lakini wanasema wamemuona.
You know, that's what they said.
Ndio maana walikuwa wanasema.
So when Jesus answered them.
Kwa hiyo Yesu alipowajibu.
In verse 25.
Katika mstari wa 25.
He said, "O fools."
Akasema nyinyi wajinga.
And slow of heart.
Na watu wenye mioyo mizito.
To believe.
Kuamini.
All that the prophets have spoken.
Ambapo yote yalionenwa na manabii.
Ought not Christ.
Kwamba Kristo.
To have suffered this thing.
Atateseka kwa ajili ya haya.
And to enter into his glory.
Na ataingia kwenye utukufu wake.
And beginning at Moses.
Kuanzia Musa.
And all the prophets.
Na manabii wote.
He expounded to them in all the scriptures.
Na akaanza kuwafunulia maandiko.
The things.
Yale mambo.
Concerning himself.
Ambayo yalivyokuwa yakizungumzwa kwa ajili yake.
Now. After a while, they constrained him to stay with them.
Na wakamwambia abakie nao.
So he abode with them.
Akakaa nao.
As they were about to break bread.
Kwa ilivyokuwa karibu ya kuvunja mkate.
Now that's not communion, no.
Hiyo sio atuzungumzie meza ya Bwana.
Breaking bread means to share food.
Kuvunja mkate maana yake kushirikishana chakula.
When Jesus multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Pale Yesu alipogawanya ile mikate mitano na samaki.
In John 6, Matthew 14.
Katika ile Mathayo 14.
He broke bread.
Akavunja mkate.
Breaking bread means to share it.
Maana yake kuvunja mkate maana kugawana.
That's what it means.
Ndio ina maana hivyo.
Well, I've seen some people say that Jesus had to break bread for their eyes to open.
Sio kwamba labda eti alivunja vile ili macho yao yafunguke.
When you take the Holy Communion, your eyes are open. When you take the Holy Communion, your eyes are open.
Eh, na wengine sasa hapo ndo wanasema kwamba ukila meza ya Bwana macho yanafunguka.
Some people preach that from that verse.
Ndio wanaanza kuhubiri kutoka kwenye mstari huo.
I'm sure as they are preaching it.
Na amini wanapoongea hivyo.
Even Jesus' eyes was open.
Hata maisha macho yetu yakawa yanafunguka.
And they'll say, wow.
Anasema, wow.
I didn't know.
Sikujua.
So, as he broke the bread,
alipokuwa wakivunja mkate,
in verse 31, in verse 31,
katika ule mstari wa 31,
their eyes were open.
Na macho yao yakafunguka.
Then he vanished out of their sight.
Na akatoweka.
So verse 32 says,
mstari wa 32,
they now talked among themselves.
Na wakaanza kujiuliza.
Did our hearts not burn within us?
Yeah, mioyo yetu haikuuma.
As he opened to us the scriptures.
Alipokuwa akifungua maandiko.
Now, later on,
baadaye,
he appeared to the other ones.
Akatokea kwa wengine.
Who were not there.
Wa ambao walikuwa wako pale.
And when he came into their midst.
Alipokuja kati yao.
He said, don't be afraid.
Akasema msiogope.
Then he said, touch me.
Akasema niguse.
A spirit has no flesh and bone.
Yeah, roho ina mifupa na nyama.
As you see me have.
Mnafo ni ona.
That's verse 37.
Iyo ni 37.
To further convince them.
Kwa hiyo ili kuwashawishi.
He said, do you have any food? Bring
it. Akawaambia je mna chakula.
To further convince that they were actually not yet believing.
Kuweza kuwashawishi kwa sababu walikuwa bando hawajaamini.
They brought the food.
Akaleta chakula.
That shows they were not convinced.
Kwa hiyo walikuwa bado ikuonyesha kwamba bado hawajaamini.
They brought the food.
Wakaleta chakula.
And he ate it.
Ana akala.
Right in their presence.
Pale mbele yao.
Then he said to them in 44.
Na akawaambia katika 44.
These are the words.
Akasema haya ni maneno.
Which I speak unto you.
Niliokuwa nikiongea na ninyi.
While I was yet with you.
Nilipokuwa nipo nanyi.
That all things must be fulfilled.
Na vyote lazima vitimizwe.
Which were written in the law of Moses.
Vilivyoandikwa katika sheria ya Musa.
In the prophets.
Katika manabii.
And in the Psalms.
Na katika Zaburi.
Concerning me.
Kuhusiana na mimi.
Now look at 45.
Na mstari wa 45.
Then he opened he their understanding.
Na akafungua ufahamu wao.
That they might understand the scriptures.
Ili waweze kuelewa maandiko.
How many times have we seen the word open?
Je, tumeona mara ngapi neno kufungua?
I'm asking how many times now.
Nataka kukuulizeni.
Who can tell me?
Nani ataniambia?
Are you paying attention to the details?
Nani anaweza kuniambia ambaye anafuatilia kwa kina?
We saw in verse 31.
Katika mstari wa 31.
Their eyes opened.
Macho yao yalifunuliwa.
Verse 32. He opened to us the scriptures.
Akafungua maandiko.
And it's the same word.
Ni neno hilo hilo.
You know the Bible is in Greek and Hebrew.
Na unajua Biblia iko katika Kibrania na Kigiriki.
Not English.
Sio Kiingereza.
And not Swahili.
Na sio Swahili.
Not Swahili.
Sio Swahili.
So the Bible is in Greek and Hebrew.
Kwa sababu iko katika Kigiriki na Kibrania.
So, yeah, sometimes like that. There are sometimes like
kuna
that.
Wakati mwingine,
I know pastor must have been doing that.
Na you are pastor amekuwa akifanya hivyo.
Where he will refer to the Greek word.
Anasema neno la Kigiriki.
Or the Hebrew word.
Katika au neno la Kiebrania.
Am I correct?
Sawa.
Some people I know that's what he does.
Najua wanafanya hivyo.
I've never heard him preach before.
Na
I've never heard him preach before.
Sijawahi kumsikia mimi akihubiri. Najua anafanya hivyo.
I know that is what he does.
Najua ndio hivyo anajua.
So now some people can become uncomfortable with that.
Unajua kuna watu wengine wanaweza wakafurahia hiyo.
They will tell us stop all this Greek and Hebrew.
Kuna wengine hawapendi sema kwamba acheni haya mambo ya ku
give us the language of the Holy Spirit.
Tupe ile lugha ya Roho Mtakatifu.
Not Greek and Hebrew.
Hatutaki Kiebrania na Kigiriki.
The language of the Holy Spirit.
Tunataka ile lugha ya Roho Mtakatifu.
This is how I explain it.
Hiyo.
This is how I explain it to them.
Hiyo nawaelezea.
I said, good. Do you believe that men wrote the Bible?
Now I'm being yem na you kwamba watu ndo waliandika
Biblia. Of course.
And you.
Of course.
Dio.
Inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Fufiwa na Roho Mtakatifu.
Very well.
Dio.
Now, I am a Yoruba boy.
Mimi ni Yoruba.
Yoruba is from Nigeria.
Yoruba kutoka Nigeria.
Yoruba is not Yoruba. Yoruba.
Yoruba.
Be very careful.
Oops.
Now I speak Yoruba as my native language. Assuming I don't understand English at all. Assuming I don't understand English at all. And then the Holy Spirit wants me to write something. What language would he use? He will use my language. Which is Yoruba language. And I will write in Yoruba. That's the language I will write. Now if I now come and I say the Holy Spirit inspired me and I write in Swahili 600 pages, will you not say, 600 pages? Because the first thing about that, if I write in someone else's language, I don't even understand what I'm writing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you write in someone else's language that you don't understand, that means what you are writing, you don't even understand it. So God will use your language to communicate his word. So the language of the Bible writers,
kwa hiyo lugha ya waandishi wa Biblia,
is the language that the Spirit of God inspired.
Ndio ile ambayo Roho Mtakatifu alivuvia.
To write his word.
Kuandika neno lake.
English language.
Lugha ya Kiingereza.
Was not in existence.
Haikuwa haipo.
During Paul and Peter.
Wakati wa Paulo na Peter.
James and John.
Na James na Yohana.
It's not even possible for it to be in existence in the time of Moses.
Kwa hiyo haikuwepo hata kipindi cha Musa.
The English language is not up to 1,000 years.
Aina ata umri wa miaka alfu moja.
So it's not possible for God to have spoken to anybody in English.
Kwa hiyo hakuna Mungu aliyeongea nako Kiingereza.
In the Bible.
Katika Biblia.
Is that very clear?
Tumeelewa?
So I told the person.
Kwa hiyo nikamwambia.
I said, so which language did the Holy Spirit use?
Kwa hiyo ni lugha gani ambayo Roho Mtakatifu alikuwa akitumia?
He said Greek and Hebrew.
Akasema Kigiriki na Kiebrania.
What is the language of the Holy Spirit?
Akasema niambie lugha ya Roho Mtakatifu.
Greek and Hebrew.
Akasema Kigiriki na Kiebrania.
Go and drink cold water and relax. So when we refer to Greek and Hebrew,
kwa tunaposema Kigiriki na Kiebrania,
it's because that is the language of those who wrote.
Kwa hiyo hiyo ndio lugha ya wale walioandika.
And in any time,
kwa hiyo muda wote,
when you are translating from one language to the other,
unapotafsiri kutoka kwenye lugha moja mpaka nyingine,
can never be perfect.
Haiwezi ikawa sawa.
Because language comes from culture.
Kwa sababu lugha inatoka kwenye utamaduni.
Am I correct?
Niko sawa?
Language comes from culture.
Lugha inakuja kutoka kwenye utamaduni.
Which one is first, language or culture?
Kitu gani ambacho kina matatizo ni
lugha? I'm asking a question. Which one is first, language or culture?
Kitu cha kwanza ni lugha au ni utamaduni?
Which one? Culture.
Culture.
So it's culture that produces language.
Kwa hiyo ni utamaduni unaotoa lugha.
So which means when I hear a word,
kwa hiyo ninapolisikia neno,
it has a cultural meaning.
Kwa hiyo ina maana ya kitamaduni.
What is culture?
Utamaduni ni nini?
Culture is how people behave amongst themselves.
Ni kwamba utamaduni ni vile watu wanavyoendesha maisha yao.
Their customs.
Ile taratibu zao.
Their way of doing things.
Jinsi ya kufanya vitu.
Is a culture.
Inaitwa utamaduni.
So that culture produces language.
Kwa hiyo ule utamaduni unatoa lugha.
And culture.
Kwa hiyo utamaduni.
Also has history.
Kwa hiyo naye utamaduni una historia.
And the history.
Na ile historia.
Has its own events.
Na ina matukio yake.
That led to the culture.
Ambayo inaletelea ile
the culture produces the language.
Na ule utamaduni unatengeneza lugha.
Hope you are following what I'm saying this morning.
Nasikia mnanifuatilia ninachosema.
So which means.
Kwa hiyo maana.
No matter how good the English Bible is.
Haijalishi Biblia ya Kiingereza ina uzuri kiasi gani.
Because the culture of the English Bible,
kwa sababu utamaduni wa lugha ya Kiingereza,
is the culture of the English translation.
Kwa sababu ni utamaduni wa Kiingereza.
It is not the same culture of the Bible writers.
Kwa sababu sio ule utamaduni wa waandishi wa Biblia.
They can have similarities.
Wanaweza wakawa kuna kufahamiana.
But you will have to translate.
Lakini lazima utafsiri.
Let me give you a small one.
Ngoja nikupe kitu kimoja.
When you say father,
unaposema baba.
Now, father to us,
baba kwetu,
is somebody who gave birth to a child.
Ni yule aliyemzaa mwana.
That's what father is to us.
Ndio baba.
Am I correct?
Je, niko sawa?
But in the culture of the Bible,
lakini katika tamaduni ya Biblia,
father,
baba,
has a family.
Ana familia.
And that family,
na hii katika ile familia,
includes his servants.
Pamoja na watumishi wake.
So it's not just the people he gave birth to.
Sio tu kwa wale aliowazaa.
Also his servants.
Na wale watumishi wake.
In Genesis 17. In Genesis 17.
Katika Yakobo 16.
Abraham was supposed to circumcise all the members of his household.
Abraham alitakiwa awatahiri ndugu nani watu wake wote.
It included his slaves.
Pamoja na watumwa wake.
His servants.
Watumwa wake.
So when he was called father,
alipokuwa kitwa baba,
before God told him to call himself father of many nations,
kabla ya Mungu hajamwambia aitwe baba wa mataifa,
he was the father over that household.
Kwa hiyo alikuwa ni baba wa ile nyumba yote,
including his servants.
Pamoja na watumishi wake.
That is their own culture. That's their own culture.
Hiyo ndio utamaduni wao.
Now, for example, when he had to go into what's her name again, Hagar,
alipokuwa amekwenda kwa huyu mtumishi wake Hagar
to have a child,
kuwa na mtoto,
in their culture,
katika utamaduni wao,
when a woman doesn't have child,
mwanamke anapokuwa hana mtoto,
she has two responsibilities.
Ana mambo mawili.
Either to leave the family,
kuiacha familia,
or to get somebody
au kumpata mtu mwanamke mbadala
who will produce an heir
ambaye atazaa mrithi
for her husband
kwa ajili ya yule mume.
So what you saw
is
Sarah asking Hagar.
Kwa hiyo Sara anamchukua Hagari
and Abraham to come together and have sex.
Ili wawe pamoja na ku
to produce a child.
Kuweza kuzaa mwana
is a culture.
Hiyo ni utamaduni.
It's a culture.
Huo ni utamaduni.
Are you following what I'm saying here?
Unanifuata?
Is there's nothing, it was not out of this world. It's not something strange.
Kwa hiyo kitu ambacho sio kwamba kigeni.
Because the reason why people get married, the reason why people got married,
kwa nini watu hao,
the reason why people got married,
kwa nini akuolewa
back then,
wakati ule,
was to have children.
Kwa watu walikuwa wakioa au kuolewa kwa ajili ya kupata watoto.
They called it to have an heir.
Kwa sababu unapata mrithi.
That was why Abraham was a little bit, he wanted Ishmael.
Ndio maana Abraham alimtaka Ishmaeli.
And God said, not Ishmael.
Akasema pana, sio Ishmaeli.
It is Isaac.
Anasema ni Isaac.
Now, what is significant there?
Kwa hiyo kitu gani pale cha kutiza?
Unlike the way we read the Bible.
Tunaposoma Biblia.
It meant that Sarah was as much part of that plan.
Kwa hiyo Abraham. Sala naye alikuwa ni mmoja katika ule mpango.
Are you following this at all? Sarah was part of that plan.
Kwa hiyo alikuwa ni sehemu ya ule mpango.
So later on in Hebrews 11, 17,
kwa hiyo katika Waebrania 11:17,
Isaac is now called the only begotten son.
Anaitwa ni mwana wa pekee Isaka.
Because in Genesis 22, verse 2,
kwa sababu katika Mwanzo 22 mstari wa 2,
God said, take your son.
Anasema mchukue mwanao.
Your only son.
Mwanako wa pekee.
He says, there is Ishmael there.
Kuna Ishmaeli.
In fact, by Genesis 11, by Hebrews 11, 17,
katika ile Ibrania 11:17,
Abraham had had other children.
Ibrahim alikuwa na watoto wengine.
Father Abraham has many sons.
Baba Ibrahim ana watoto mingi.
I mean, Father Abraham is powerful.
Baba Ibrahim alikuwa na nguvu.
He had many sons.
Alikuwa na watoto
wengi. Through another Keturah.
Alikuwa amezana Keturah.
But the Bible calls Isaac his only begotten son.
Na Biblia inasema kwamba Isaac ni mwana wa pekee.
That shows you the meaning of only begotten son.
Ndio maana ya hiyo kitu ya mwana wa pekee.
Does not mean the only son you gave birth to.
Haimaanishi kwamba ni mtoto ambaye umemzaa.
The word begotten,
maneno hilo mwana wa pekee,
and what, so the word only begotten,
inaposema mwana wa pekee,
means unique.
Ina maana wa pekee.
Special.
Kispecially.
It is to make that person different from the rest.
Kumfanya yeye awe wa tofauti na wengine.
So when the Bible is talking about son,
inaposema Biblia kuhusu wana,
and you hear something like firstborn,
ina maana kwamba yule mzaliwa wa kwanza.
Firstborn is not first son.
Mzaliwa wa kwanza ina maana kwamba mtoto wa kiume wa kwanza.
In my family,
katika familia yangu,
my father had two sons.
Baba yangu alikuwa na watoto wa kiume
wawili. And then also a daughter.
Na alikuwa na binti.
I am the firstborn.
Mimi ni mzaliwa wa kwanza.
But that's not the meaning of firstborn.
Lakini haina maana ya firstborn.
Firstborn,
mzaliwa wa kwanza,
is anyone,
ni mtu yeyote,
you have given your inheritance to.
Ambaye unampa.
Anyone,
nani,
you have given your authority to.
Unayempa mamlaka yako.
Anyone,
mtu yeyote,
you have given the privilege to act on your behalf.
Ambaye anaweza akafanya kwa badala yako.
That is why Exodus 4,
kwa sababu katika Kutoka 4,
verse 22 and 23,
mstari wa 22 na 23,
God said concerning Israel,
anasema kwa kuhusu Israel,
Israel is my son.
Anasema Israel ni mwana wangu.
Israel is my firstborn.
Anasema ni mzaliwa wangu wa kwanza.
You understand that now?
Unaelewa?
That means Israel is my heir.
Kwa sababu Israel maana yake ni mrithi wangu.
Israel has my responsibility.
Anasema Israel anawajibika kwa.
That is what firstborn means.
Ndio maana ya mzaliwa wa kwanza.
You know, I came from culture.
Ni unajua nimetokea kwenye utamaduni.
You know, I just spoke about culture.
Nimeongelea kuhusu utamaduni.
So it's culture that produces language.
Kwa hiyo ni utamaduni unaotoa lugha.
So if you hear firstborn,
kwa unaposikia mzaliwa wa kwanza,
in Swahili language,
katika Kiswahili,
in Yoruba language,
katika Kiyoruba,
in English language,
katika English,
it might not mean the same thing as called firstborn in Bible language.
Haimaanishi kama inavyozungumzwa kwenye Biblia.
Firstborn also means the ruler.
Kwa sababu mzaliwa wa kwanza manake mtawala.
So when you hear Jesus is the firstborn of every creature.
Kwa ukisikia kwamba Yesu ni mzaliwa wa kwanza wa kila kiumbe.
Jehovah's wickedness or Jehovah's witness.
Kwa hiyo katika kile ki Jehovah witness.
I said two things. Jehovah's wickedness, sorry, Jehovah's witness.
Oh, okay.
They usually will say what it means is that Jesus was a created person.
Kwa hiyo ina maana gani?
When they read that verse,
wanaposoma huo mstari,
Colossians 1:15.
Hiyo mstari wananiwa kwa Korosai 1:15.
Into 16.
Baa 16.
That is the firstborn of every creature.
Kwamba Yesu ni mzaliwa wa kwanza wa kila kiumbe.
They now think he means first child.
Kwa sababu wenyewe wanafikiria kwamba ni mzaliwa.
But that's not the culture. That's not the Bible language.
Hiyo sio lugha ya Biblia.
Firstborn is somebody who has rulership, authority.
Mzaliwa wa kwanza ni yule mwana mwenye mamlaka na mwenye mamlaka na mrithi.
It's like the vice chancellor of a university.
Kama vile yule
is the firstborn of the school.
Kama vile yule mkuu wa chuo, yeye ndio.
It doesn't mean he is a student.
Haimaanishi kwamba yeye ni mwanafunzi.
It just means he has a right and authority over the rest.
Haina maana kwamba yeye ndo ana mamlaka juu ya
to serve them,
kuwatumikia,
to lead them,
kuwaongoza,
to guide them,
kuwaongoza.
So when you hear Jesus is the firstborn,
kwa unaposikia kwamba mzaliwa wa kwanza,
that firstborn does not mean somebody who is a child like the rest.
Haimaanishi kwamba yule ni mtoto kama
wengine. Am I making sense this morning? Am I making sense?
Yeah, mnaeleweka?
So when you call Jesus the only begotten son,
kwa unavomuita Yesu ni mwana wa pekee,
it means he's a unique son.
Kwamba ni wa pekee.
Is a unique son.
Ni wa kitofauti.
That means he's a different kind of son.
Yani ni wa kitofauti.
He's a different kind of son.
Kitofauti na wenzake.
Now you must have seen Muslims.
Kwa hiyo anaweza.
Who have a problem with that Jesus is called the Son of God.
Kuna mtu anaweza kana tatizo kumuita Yesu mwana wa Mungu.
That one is annoying for them.
Hiyo inawaudhi.
Because he will say God does not give birth to any child.
Kwa sababu wengine wanasema kwamba Mungu hakuzaa.
Because he has no wife.
Kwa sababu hakuwa na mke.
But they don't understand the Bible language.
Lakini hawajui lugha ya Biblia.
Son also means servant.
Kwa sababu mwana pia ni mtumishi.
Remember in the scriptures.
Unakumbuka?
You have what you call the sons of the prophets.
Unajua walikuwa wakiitwa wana wa manabii.
The sons of the prophet are not his biological children.
Kwa sababu wana wa manabii walikuwa sio wamezaliwa.
The sons of the prophet are those who walk with him.
Wale ni wale wanaotenda kazi na nabii.
That is why you see Elisha say to Elijah, my father, my father.
Ndio maana Elijah akasema baba yangu, baba yangu.
It's like saying my master, my master.
Au kusema bwana wangu, bwana wangu.
So a master-servant relationship.
Kwa hiyo ule uhusiano wa bwana na mtumwa wake.
Is also called father and son.
Na ule unaitwa baba na mwana.
For example.
Kwa mfano.
If a brother.
Kwa hiyo kama ndugu.
A twin brother.
Ni mapacha.
Decides.
Anaamua.
To serve his twin brother.
Kuweza kumtumikia yule ndugu yake.
They are twins.
Wako mapacha.
They have the same authority.
Wana mamlaka.
They have the same rights.
Wana haki yote.
In their father's household.
Katika ile nyumba ya babao.
Then he decides.
Anaamua.
For one reason or the other.
Kwa njia moja.
Maybe they say, okay, let us take care of this farm.
Kwamba wanasema kwamba hebu tuweze kushughulikia hii shamba.
That belongs to two of us.
Kwa sisi wawili.
Okay, then this the other twin.
Kwa hiyo yule pacha mwingine.
Say, well, let me be the one to manage it every day.
Mimi ndio niwe nasimamia hii.
You just take care of the finances.
Wewe simamia fedha.
And send the finances to me.
Na utakuwa unaleta.
I will be asking for finances.
Nitakuwa nakiomba.
You will send.
Na utastuma.
And you will supervise.
Na kusimamia.
Are they still the same?
Je, wako sawa?
Because they are twins.
Kwa sababu ni twin.
But because of what they are about to do.
Lakini kwa kile ambacho wanataka kukifanya.
One will not act like the servant.
Kwa hiyo kuna mmoja atakuwa kama mtumishi.
The other will be the master.
Na mwingine atakuwa ni master.
So when you look at the Bible terms.
Kwa hiyo katika Biblia.
That other brother is the father.
Yule atakuwa baba.
This other one is a son.
Na huyu atakuwa mwana.
Not because he gave birth to him.
Kwa hiyo sio kwamba amemzaa.
But because he's acting like a servant.
Lakini kwa sababu anatenda kama mtumishi.
Or what they are both doing.
Lakini kwa kile wanachokifanya.
Let me see if you follow what I'm talking about.
Tumeelewana jamani?
Is it clear to you?
Je, tumeelewana?
So when Jesus is called the only begotten son,
kwa hiyo Yesu anaposema,
it means that his sonship is unique.
Kwa hiyo ina maana kwamba wanawake ni watofauti.
What is unique about it?
Utofauti uko hapo.
John 1:18.
Katika ile Yohana 1:18.
He says no one has seen God at any time.
Anasema kwamba sio mtu amna mtu aliyemuona baba.
The only begotten son.
Anasema ni yule mwana wa pekee.
Which is in the bosom of the Father.
Ambaye anakaa kifuani kwa baba.
He has declared him.
Anasema amemuona.
If you check the original Greek,
ukitizama katika Kigiriki,
it says the only begotten God.
Anasema ni yule Mungu wa pekee.
The only begotten God.
Yule Mungu wa pekee.
That's the uniqueness.
Hiyo ni utofauti.
That this one,
kwamba huyu,
is God.
Ni Mungu.
Who became a servant?
Amefanyika kuwa mtumishi.
This one,
huyu,
is God.
Ni Mungu.
Who became a man?
Amekuwa mwanadamu.
So that only begotten use for Jesus.
Kwa hiyo ile begotten ya pekee inayotumika.
Is the uniqueness of the fact that he is God.
Inaonekana yani ule utofauti.
That's why John 1:14.
Ndio maana katika ile 1:14.
Says the word became flesh.
Na anasema neno likafanyika mwili.
And dwelt among us.
Na likakaa kati ya watu.
Now pause for 1 minute.
Able to speed it.
Did you see what I just did?
Unaona ni
I read the Old and New Testament together.
Nimesoma, nimeinani.
Did you understand what that's what
Ile,
I just did?
Agano.
I did it deliberately.
Nimefanya hivyo makusudi.
So that you will know you have to read the two together.
Ndio maana ulazima usome ile kweli pamoja.
You see, the New Testament,
kwa hiyo agano jipya,
without the Old Testament,
bila agano la kale,
is like starting a movie.
Ni kama vile movie, cinema.
No, not starting a movie. It's like watching Man City Arsenal from the second half. The thing is still paining me because I watched it. You don't know how to say Man City Arsenal in Swahili. I would collect the microphone from you. You want to help you? Sorry. I hope you are not a Chelsea person. What are you? Sit beside him. I don't trust him. It's like watching Arsenal Man City at the second half.
Kama unaangalia mechi ya Arsenal na Man City
kipindi cha pili. Thank you. And you now see 10 players.
Na unaona wanachezaji 10.
Against 11 players.
Dhidi ya wale 11.
And you now say Arsenal is not holding the ball. They are not holding the ball.
Arsenal
how would we hold the ball when we were given a red card?
Wamepewa kadi nyekundu.
Unjustly.
Bila haki.
Against the will and wish of God.
Kinyume kabisa na mapenzi ya
righteousness.
Ni uovu kabisa.
What I'm trying to say is you don't start reading the Bible from the New Testament. It's like watching highlights of a game. You can't understand
the
game. The New Testament is written from the Old Testament. So we say the Old Testament interprets the New Testament. The New Testament also explains the Old Testament. They walk together. So the New Testament is like a conversation that has been begun before. Then you start from the middle. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't forget that the Bible in the hands of Jesus, of Paul, and Peter was Genesis to Malachi. That was their Bible. So whatever they were preaching from, they were preaching from those books. Amen.
Amen.
That's why you told me I went to the Old Testament to make that explanation. Because that was the Bible in their hands to understand it. So verse 45. Luke 24. That was where we were, right? He opened their understanding. So I was talking about how the Greek and Hebrew will help you to understand the Bible. He opened ear their understanding.
Akafungua fahamu zao.
That they might understand the scriptures.
Ili waweze kuelewa na maandiko.
Now, so number one, their eyes were open.
Ko jambo la kwanza macho yao yalifunguliwa.
Verse 31.
Ule mstari wa 31.
Verse 32.
Mstari wa 32.
He opened the scriptures.
Maandiko yakafunguliwa.
Verse 45.
Mstari wa 45.
He opened ear their understanding.
Akafungua fahamu zao.
Now in Acts 17. No, so, Acts 7.
Kitabu cha Matendo sura 7.
Verse 55.
Mstari ule wa 55.
Acts 56.
Na 56.
It says the heavens were open.
Asema mbingu zikafunguka.
And Stephen saw Jesus.
Na Stefano akamuona Yesu.
So you can see, now don't forget that Luke wrote the book of Acts.
Usisahau kwamba Luke ndiye aliandika kitabu cha Matendo ya Mitume.
So he's using that word open in a way you must pay attention.
Kwa anapotumia hilo neno mbingu zikafunguka unapaswa uweke umakini.
In Acts 17.
Kwenye kitabu cha Matendo sura
17. Verse 2 and 3.
Mstari wa 2 na 3.
It says that Paul was opening and alleging the scriptures that Jesus is Christ.
Anasema kwamba Paulo alikuwa anadai kwamba maandiko.
So that word open. That word open.
Kwa hilo neno kufungua
means to disclose something.
Ina maana ya kukiweka kitu wazi.
To disclose something.
Kukiweka kitu wazi.
There's an information there.
Kwamba kuna taarifa pale.
Luke 24.
Kitabu cha Luka 24.
31.
Mstari wa 31.
Their eyes were open.
Maandiko macho yalifunguliwa.
32.
Mstari 32.
He opened the scriptures.
Maandiko yakafunguliwa.
45.
Mstari 45.
He opened their understanding.
Akafungua fahamu zao.
Acts 17. Acts 7.
Matendo ya Mitume 7.
55 and 56.
Mstari 65 na 67.
The heavens were open.
Mbingu zikafunguka.
Acts 17.
Matendo 17.
Verse 2 and 3. He opened the scriptures alleging that Jesus is Christ.
Adai kwamba Yesu Kristo.
There's actually
Yesu
one more. Acts 9.
Kitabu cha Matendo 9.
The woman
yule mwanamke
whose heart was open to the gospel.
Ambaye moyo wake
that should be verse 35 or 6. Her heart was open to the gospel.
Abena 5 na 6 msali.
So that open is revelation.
Kwa hilo neno kufungua ni ufunuo.
There's something you will see.
Kuna kitu unaweza kukiona.
Are you following what I'm saying here?
Unafuatilia?
He opened their understanding.
Akafungua fahamu zao.
That they might understand the scriptures.
Kwamba waweze kuelewa maandiko.
Luke 24.
Luka 24
and 45.
Msali 5.
46.
Na 6.
Thus it is written.
Come again.
Thus it is written that if behold Christ to die and be raised from the dead the third day, our repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at
Jerusalem.
Verse
48.
You are witnesses of this thing. Then that is what led us to verse
49.
So look at the background. Jesus rose from the dead. Then he's talking to his disciples and explaining the scriptures to them. Was there a revelation involved? Were their eyes open? So their eyes were open to see the scriptures. But notice,
lakini tazama kwa makini.
He now said they have a mandate.
Anasema sasa wakawa na agizo.
Repentance
kwamba toba
and remission of sins
na ondoleo la dhambi
should be preached in his name.
Vitahubiriwa kwa jina lake.
Among all nations.
Kwa mataifa yote.
Beginning at Jerusalem.
Kuanzia na Yerusalemu.
So after revelation,
kwa hiyo baada ya ufunuo,
we have a mandate.
Kwa sasa tuna agizo.
After you have a revelation,
baada kumepata ufunuo
of the word of God,
ya neno la Mungu, neno la Mungu,
it is not to enjoy.
Sio kwa ajili ya kufurahia tu.
It is not to be excited.
Sio kwa na raha raha na.
It's not even to feel superior to other believers.
Kuona ni mkuu kuliko wengine.
Is to have a mandate.
Bali ni kuwa na agizo, kuwa na mission.
Revelation knowledge.
Kwa hiyo maarifa funuo
is responsibility.
Ni wajibu.
Revelation knowledge.
Maarifa funuo
is responsibility.
Ni wajibu.
Revelation knowledge is hard work.
Ni kazi, ni
revelation knowledge is responsibility. So in revelation knowledge, we are given responsibility. Did you hear me well? In revelation knowledge, we are given responsibility. So revelation knowledge, responsibility, revelation knowledge, responsibility. So every time pastor begins to teach and he explains something from the word of God and your eyes are open, does that happen to us? As pastor is teaching,
I'm talking
about your pastor as he's teaching, and he's teaching Your eyes are open. There is a reason why your eyes are open. Your eyes are open because there is a responsibility. So God's word is not just an information. It is a responsibility. Information in God's word is not just for information's sake. It is a responsibility. Repentance
Toba
and remission of sin should be preached
itaubiliwa
in his name
kwa jina lake
among all nations,
katikati mataifa yote,
beginning at Jerusalem.
Kwanza tangu Yerusalemu.
He says you are witnesses unto this thing.
Anasema na ninyi ndinyi mashahidi wa mambo haya.
So that leads us to where we are going.
Kwa hiyo ina maana inatuambia
verse 49.
He said,
behold,
asatazama,
I send the promise of my father upon you.
Na waletea yenu ahadi ya baba yangu.
But tarry in the city of Jerusalem.
Lakini kaeni humu mchini.
Till you be endued with power from on high.
Uwezo utokao juu.
Now,
sasa,
you know there are four gospels.
Kuna injili nne.
Three of them are called synoptic.
Hivi vitatu vinaitwa vile vitabu ambavyo vinafanana.
Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Fanano.
Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Marko na Luka.
John is not called synoptic.
Yohana haitu kitabu ambacho kinafanana.
Because it's different from the other three.
Kwa sababu ni tofauti na hivi
vitatu. The other three were expansions of one another.
Hivi vitatu vilikuwa ni kama muendelezo wa kingine au kutanuliwa kwa
kingine. It is believed that Mark is the first one.
Inasemekana kwamba kitabu cha Marko ni cha kwanza.
So Matthew expands Mark.
Kwa hiyo maana yake Mathayo akatanua kitabu cha Marko.
Luke also expands Mark.
Luka pia akatanua kitabu cha Marko.
But John stands on his own.
Lakini Yohana anasimama peke yake.
You see that the miracles of John are unique to John.
Unaona kabisa miujiza ya Yohana iko tofauti kabisa.
They are unique miracles.
Yani ni ya pekee kwake.
You won't find the healing of the nobleman's son in any of the four gospels.
Uwezi kaiona ukaona
muujiza in John 4.
Wa kupona kwa yule mtoto wa akida kwenye
the miracle of John 2, wedding of Cana, Cana of Galilee is not in any of the other.
Wala muujiza wa Cana Galilea upati kwenye injili zingine.
Lazarus being raised from the dead is not found in any of the.
Wala kufuliwa kwa Lazaro kutoka kwa wafu upati kwenye vitabu vingine.
The man who was blind from his mother's womb, Matthew 9 and John 9 is not found in any of the.
Wala Yohana 9 mtu alikuwa kipofu kutoka tumboni, huwezi kupata kwenye injili zingine.
The man he found at the pool of Siloam in John 5 is not found in any. What happened in John 6 is not the same as the other ones that we read in the first synoptic. It stands on its own. And don't forget, of all the four, his own was the most detailed when Jesus rose from the dead.
Vile Yesu alivyofuka kutoka wafu.
He dedicated John 20. And John 21. And the events before Jesus died. And his commentaries on the Holy Spirit. Is unique to John. John is the only one who did not tell the stories of. He didn't tell much stories before John 2.
Yohana sio aliyeongea habari nyingi kabla ya Yohana 2 kama wengine walivyosema habari nyingi za kuzungumza Yesu.
He didn't tell more stories.
Asemi habari nyingi.
So John is not called synoptic.
Kwa Yohana haiti.
It's part of the four gospels.
Au yakona pamoja.
It's part of the four gospels.
Ni sehemu ya injili nne.
But it's not called synoptic.
Lakini haiitwi injili ya injili ya moja ya zile injili za kuona kwa pamoja.
So if you read all the four gospels.
Kwa hiyo hizi tatu kati ya zile nne.
Four things are important.
Kuna mambo manne muhimu.
And they are similar.
Na yanafanana.
That when Jesus rose from the dead,
wakati Yesu alifufuka kutoka wafu,
he gave them a mandate.
Aliwapa agizo.
Matthew 28.
Mathayo 28.
And verse 18.
Na mstari wa 19.
All authority
mamlaka, nimepewa mamlaka
is given me
mbinguni na duniani,
in heaven and earth.
Mbinguni na duniani.
Go therefore.
Enendeni.
And teach all nations.
Kafundisha mataifa yote.
Baptizing them.
Mkiwabatiza kwa jina
la Baba, the Father,
na Mwana na Roho Mtakatifu.
And of the Son. And of the Holy Ghost.
Jina Baba na Mwana na Roho Mtakatifu.
Verse 20.
Mstari wa 20.
Teaching them
mkiwafundisha
to observe
kuyashika yote
what things soever
niloamuru ninyi.
I have commanded you.
Yes.
And lo,
natazama.
Lo,
tazama.
I'm with you.
Mimi nipo pamoja nanyi.
To the end of the age.
Siku zote hata kwa mifo dawa.
We read that.
Tumesoma hiyo.
Mark 16:15.
Marko 16 pia.
Going to all the world.
Enendeni ulimwenguni kote.
And preach the gospel.
Kuhubiri injili kwa viumbe vyote.
To every creature.
Kuhubiri injili kwa viumbe vyote.
He that believes.
Yeye aminiye.
And is baptized.
Na kubatizwa.
Shall be saved.
Ataokoka.
These signs. shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Verse 18. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Verse 19. So after that, Jesus said this to them, he went up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord walking and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Amen.
Luke's gospel.
The word we just read.
Verse 47. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Then he says to them, in 48, you are witnesses unto these things. But look at 49. Now that 49 is a detail you will readily see in Matthew. You may not even see it in Mark. He asked them to wait till they are endued with power from on high. Now, if you read Acts of the Apostles, because Acts of the Apostles was also written by Luke, of course, by tradition. Luke tells us in Acts 1, verse 2 and 3, tells us that Jesus taught them, he showed them by many infallible proofs, then he taught them the things concerning the kingdom for about 40 days. Then verse 4, he said, wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. Let me advise you.
You
open your Bible. Don't wait for me to open mine first. Is that clear? Don't wait for me to open to mine. If you think I'm going to say, so let us read. I won't do that all the time.
Though.
So let's get back to what I was saying. Some of you are waiting for me to be opening my Bible. If it's in your Bible, it is in my Bible. Is that very clear? Verse 4. He said to them, wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. Verse 5. John verily baptized with water. Not many days hence, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So notice that statement. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So which means the promise of the Father in verse 4 is what? Answer. What is it? What is it? Wait. Verse 4. Wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. Look at Luke 24:49. I send the promise of my Father. Is that not it? Upon you. Now pause a little bit. The word promise.
Ilineno ahadi.
You know, a promise.
Unajua ahadi
could be something you want to do.
Inaweza kuwa kitu ambacho unataka kufanya.
And that promise could be, oh, I will give you $1 million.
Na hiyo ahadi inaweza kuwa nitakupa wewe dola milioni moja.
Is an illustration.
And
I give an illustration. Before you say I cut the
rainbow,
I will give you $1 million. So when I say I will give you $1 million, it will mean that you are looking forward to me doing something. But if I am also working with you, let's say we are like this. And you want to get to the end of the road. And I said, don't worry. I will be with you. We'll get there together. You see the promise. But is it for the future? Is it for the future? Is it for the future? Wait, we are walking together already. And I say, don't worry, I won't leave you. I will stay with you till you get to the road. Is it a promise? Is it a future? Is it for the future? Is something I am already doing. So the promise of God is a commitment, not a prediction. It's a commitment, not a prediction.
Now,
it's like a husband and wife. When you are making a marital vow, and you know, they say, till death do us part. Depends on who kills who. Please don't quote me, I was just joking. So till death do us part, I'll be with you in sickness and in health. That is a promise. Right? But it is not a future thing. It's what has already begun. It will take care of now. It will take care of the future. Are you following what I'm saying? So when I say I will be with you always, it means from now, what I've said will have an effect forever. So when I say the promises of God, it's not somebody predicting something. It is him making a commitment. That commitment also involves the future. Many times that commitment involves the past. For example, when God says your sins and iniquity I'll remember no more, the sins and iniquity happened in the past, but it is a promise of something he's saying now that has an effect when? In the past. So he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It is for now, also for later. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? So when you say the promises of God, they are not a future thing. Because we have this impression that God made promise in the Old Testament. Then he waited for thousands of years to fulfill the promise. That one is what we call scope.
Come again.
We call it scope in Nigeria.
Ah.
Scoping.
Scope.
You know what scope is? Someone to, I don't know, I don't want to use English, but to deceive you.
Oh, he's
scoping him, How can I give you a promise?
There
is for 2,000 years. Nobody scope me that. That's scope now. I said, I will give you, God said to Abraham, I'll give you a son.
Abraham
said, that son is Jesus. Jesus that he never saw. That is scope. Every time God made a promise, he fulfilled it. To whoever he made that promise to fulfill, was a promise Abraham, he gave
Abraham.
He didn't give Abraham a post-dated check.
Come again.
He didn't give Abraham a post-dated check.
Akumpatia,
you know, a post-dated check, he said, don't worry, when I have money in my account, go and present it.
Tu, I sign,
and I'll sign $5,000.
Don't
go and present it.
If you
go and present it,
it
will bounce like Ronaldo. If you present it, it will bounce like Ronaldo.
Oh, it will
bounce like football.
You know
what a bounce check means? When
check
you pay it and
bounce,
they say, that if you had removed all these zeros, then that money is there. If you write $5,000, then the account officer says, the banker says, remove all these zeros, then I can give you the balance. That means that's your check. It has started bouncing. So if God gave Abraham a promise,
I said,
I will give you a son, and that son now became Jesus. Thousands of years, when Abraham had died, Isaac,
Isaac,
Jacob, all of them, and then that eventual promise came. Like we say in Nigeria, who promised help? Who promised help? I'm teaching you Nigerian slang. Who promised help? That is, of what use is the promise? If I will not see the promise. So don't read the promises of God as a future event. The promises of God are His commitment to do something. And He always causes His promise to come to pass. To whomever He made the promise. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when He says, I send the promise of my Father upon you, that can be the presence of the Father. That can be the power of the Father. I'm going to ask you a question. Was the Father with them? When Jesus was talking, He was with them. Was Jesus with them when He was talking? Was the Holy Spirit with them? So which means that promise is a commitment to do something. Is that very clear? Does it make sense? That promise, I'll give you another one. If I'm with pastor here now,
Shemej.
I have Meshmesh in me. So Pastor Shemej.
Pastor Shemej.
Who is also Meshmesh?
Who am I any Meshmesh?
So we are together like this.
Tuko hivi namna hii.
And I'm always with him.
Na niko wakatote na yeye.
So I promise him.
Kwani namwaahidi.
Now when you get to the door,
ukifika mlangoni pale,
I'll open it for you.
Nitafungua kwa ajili yako.
I will be with him as he's going to the door. I've not left him. But when he now gets to the door, I will fulfill that promise. It doesn't mean I will leave him
and
then come back. Because when Jesus was talking to them, the Father was there. He was there. In fact, He said, lo, I am with you always. So that promise of the Father is very unique, and we must understand it. Are you with me? Are you following me? Good. So He said, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Luke 24:49. I said, but He said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. After which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem. All Judea.
Samaria.
And unto the uttermost part of the earth. So let's read everything together. And be very patient. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, look at it. Lo, I am with you always.
Tazama, mimi nipo pamoja
nanyi. I'm with you always.
Niko pamoja nanyi.
Did you see it?
Umeona hiyo?
Till the end of the age.
Hata ukamilifu wa dahari.
I'm with you always.
Niko pamoja nanyi
till the end of the age.
Hata ukamilifu wa
dahari. I'm with you always.
Niko pamoja nanyi
till the end of the age.
Hata ukamilifu wa dahari.
Now, Mark 16.
Kitabu cha Marko 16
and verse 20.
Na ule msali wa 20.
The Lord
asema basi Bwana Yesu
walking with
msali wa 20 anasema nao wale wakatoka.
Can I say the Lord, they went everywhere preaching, right?
Yes.
He says the Lord
asema Bwana
walking with
akitenda kazi pamoja nao
and confirming
na kulithibitisha lile neno
the word
akithibitisha lile neno
with sign
kwa ishara.
So was the Lord with them?
Je, Bwana alikuwa pamoja nao?
Was He with them?
Alikuwa pamoja nao?
Okay. Was he with them?
Alikuwa pamoja nao, eh?
So now, if he says, I send the promise of my Father upon you.
Nawaletea ahadi ya Baba juu yenu.
It means the ever-present Christ.
Ina maana ya kwamba Yesu aliyekuwepo
wakati wote. The ever-present Christ.
Yesu aliyekuwepo wakati wote.
The ever-present Christ.
Yesu ambaye anakuwepo wakati wote.
With the ever-present Father.
Walikuwa na Baba ambaye yuko wakati wote.
And the ever-present Spirit.
Na Roho ambaye yuko wakati wote.
Wants to begin something new.
Anataka kuanza jambo jipya.
It's not that they are coming to them new.
Sio kwamba anakuja kwao kitofauti au
kwa mara ya kwanza. They never left.
Hajaondoka,
hawezi. And they will never leave.
Na hataondoka.
But something new is about to happen.
Jambo jipya linataka kutokea.
Are you following what I'm saying this morning?
Unapata ninachokisema?
The ever-present Father,
Baba ambaye yuko wakati wote.
The ever-present Son,
Mwana ambaye yuko wakati wote.
The ever-present Holy Spirit,
Roho Mtakatifu ambaye yuko wakati wote.
Are about to do something new.
Yuko tayari kufanya jambo jipya.
Not that they are coming from somewhere.
Sio kwamba anatokea mahali fulani.
They are about to do something new.
Yuko tayari kufanya jambo jipya.
So he said, I send the promise of my Father upon you.
Nawaletea ahadi ya Baba yangu juu yenu.
So what is the promise of the Father?
Je, ni nini ahadi ya Baba?
Can we call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Tunaweza tukaita ubatizo wa Roho Mtakatifu?
Is that correct?
Hiyo ni sahihi.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Ubatizo wa Roho?
Can we say?
Tunaweza kusema?
The power of the Holy Spirit upon them.
Nguvu ya Roho Mtakatifu juu yao.
Is that the same thing?
Hiyo ni kitu kimoja?
The power of the Holy Spirit upon them.
Nguvu ya Roho juu yao, uwezo wa Roho juu yao.
Acts 1:8.
Ile Matendo 1:8.
Is making a commitment.
Anafanya commitment
pale. Of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Kwa nguvu ya Roho juu yao.
Upon them.
Nguvu ya Roho Mtakatifu juu yao.
Now do not forget this.
Usisahau hii.
These disciples.
Hao wanafunzi.
And the apostles.
Na hao mitume.
They had ministered miracles.
Walikuwa wanahudumu miujiza.
Look at Luke 9.
Angalia kwenye Luka 9.
Verse 1.
Mstari ule wa kwanza.
He gave them authority and power.
Aliwapa mamlaka na uweza.
Over sickness and diseases.
Juu ya magonjwa.
And over unclean.
Na maradhi na kila pepo.
Did you see that?
Umeiona hiyo, eh?
You saw it? Luke 9, did you see it?
Luke 9,
1 and 2, did you see it?
Umeona hiyo?
In Luke 10, 17.
Na kwenye Luka 10:17.
When they came back to him.
Walipomlejea.
And said, behold.
Na akasema kwamba.
They said, the demons are subject to us through your name.
Wakasema bwana, hata pepo wanatutii kwa jina lako.
They were full of excitement and joy.
Wakawa wamefurahi na kushangilia.
Then verse 18.
Na mstari 18.
He said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven.
Akaambia nilimuona shetani akianguka kutoka mbinguni kama umeme.
Then verse 19.
Mstari 19.
Verse 19.
Mstari 19.
Jesus told them.
Akawaambia.
Behold.
Tazama.
I give you.
Nimewapa amri.
Authority.
Ya kukanyaga.
Power.
Nimewapa ninyi amri
na mamlaka upon serpents and scorpions.
Ya kukanyaga nyoka na nge.
And over all the power of the enemy.
Na nguvu zote za adui.
And nothing shall by any means.
Wala hakuna kitu kitachowadhuru.
That means they had been casting out demons.
Ina maana kwamba walikuwa wanakemea na kutoa pepo.
Healing the sick.
Walikuwa wanaponya magonjwa.
He had given them power now.
Alikwisha kuwa amewapa nguvu tayari.
Before.
Kabla.
Giving them authority.
Walikuwa wamepewa mamlaka.
So what was now unique?
Sasa nini kilikuwa cha pekee?
What was it that's unique?
Nini kiwa cha pekee kwa
mwanadamu? That is now talking about.
Ndicho ambacho nakizungumza
sasa. And it calls it the promise of the Father.
Anakiita ahadi ya Baba.
It calls it the promise of the Father.
Anaita ahadi ya Baba.
Upon you.
Anasema nawaletea ahadi ya Baba juu yenu.
Are you following what we're saying?
Unafuatilia ninachokisema?
Before Jesus died.
Kabla Yesu hajakufa.
Were the apostles healing the sick?
Je, mitume walikuwa wanaponya wagonjwa?
Were they casting out demons?
Walikuwa wanatoa pepo?
So what then was he now talking about?
Kwa hiyo maana yake Yesu alikuwa anazungumzia mambo haya.
What was he now saying?
Anachokisema sasa.
About when he rose from the dead.
Ni kile kinachotokea wakati ambapo amefufuka
kutoka kwa wafu. It calls it the promise of my
Father. Anakiita ahadi ya Baba.
Don't forget John the Baptist.
Usisahau Yohana Mbatizaji.
In Mark 1:8.
Kwenye kitabu cha Marko 1:8.
Jesus will say, I baptize with water.
Anasema ninawabatiza kwa maji.
He will baptize with the Holy Ghost.
Yesu au yeye atawabatiza kwa Roho.
He will baptize with the Holy Ghost.
Atawabatiza kwa Roho Mtakatifu.
Pastor said I should feel at home.
Yes sir.
Pastor said I should feel at home.
Mchungaji amesema kwamba nijisikie niko nyumbani.
You sure I should feel at home?
Yes, you should.
Are you very sure?
I'm very sure sir.
Okay.
Yeah, feel at home.
So Mark 1:8.
So Marko moja nane.
I'm already at home now.
Niko sasa nyumbani.
As I speak. Mark 1:8.
Marko moja nane.
He said he baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Akasema kwamba mimi niwabatiza kwa maji.
So two things are going to we are going to use.
Kwa maana yake kuna vitu viwili tunaenda kutumia.
John baptized with water.
Yohana anabatiza na maji.
Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Yesu anabatiza na Roho Mtakatifu.
Which means
hii ina maana
that
kwamba
we have to understand John's baptism first.
Tunapaswa kwanza kuelewa ubatizo wa Yohana kwanza.
Before we understand the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Kabla tuelewe ubatizo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
One explains the other.
Moja unaelezea mwingine.
In Matthew 3 again.
Kwenye kitabu cha
verse 16 and 17.
Mstari wa 16 na 17.
He said I baptize with water.
Anasema kwamba
ninabatiza with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Atabatiza kwa Roho na moto.
John 1.
Yohana 1.
32 and 33.
Yohana moja
is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost.
33 na 34 nasema yeye.
Luke 3. Luke 3.
Luka 3.
Luke 3.
Luka 3.
16 and 17.
Mstari wa 16
Luke also talks about he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Luka pia akasema kwamba atabatiza kwa Roho na moto.
So there is the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Kwa hiyo kuna ubatizo kwa Roho Mtakatifu.
The baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Ubatizo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
Baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Ubatizo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
John said Jesus will do.
Na Yesu na Yohana anasema kwamba Yesu atafanya.
Baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Ubatizo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
That Jesus said he will do.
Ambao Yesu alisema atafanya.
Acts chapter 1 verse 4 and 5.
Kitabu cha Matendo Mitume sura ya kwanza mstari.
Let's pause a bit. I'll give you 1 minute to look through all those verses now. Just look through all those verses. See whether they are the same.
Uangalie kama je inafanana.
That I have been quoting.
Ambao nimekuwa na inukuu.
Check it.
Hebu iangalie kama inafanana.
Check it very well.
Iangalie vizuri.
Let's be sure.
Hebu tuwe na uhakika.
Let's be very sure.
Hebu tuwe na uhakika kabisa.
Check it.
Iangalie.
Is it the same?
Jenny, hiyo hiyo. Ni sawa?
Acts 1:8, Luke 24,
Matendo
Matthew 28,
Luka 24,
Mark 16,
Abanani, alafu Matayo 28,
Acts 1:5, Acts 1:4, Acts 1:8, Luke 24:49. Are they the same?
Je, inafanana?
Did you find it like that?
Je, umepata kuona huo mfanano?
Answer.
Naomba mjibu.
Is it the same?
Ni inafanana.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, which means that can we read the promise of the Father
wakati unasoma ahadi ya baba
as a baptism with the Holy Ghost?
Unaisoma kama ubatizo wa
Roho. Are they the same thing?
Je, ni kitu kimoja?
Are they the same thing?
Je, ni kitu kimoja?
Promise of the Father,
ahadi ya baba,
baptism of the Holy Ghost,
ubatizo wa Roho.
Are they the same thing?
Je, ni kitu kimoja?
Okay.
Okay.
So which means
hii ina maana
we need to understand we need to understand baptism with the Holy Ghost
kwa ubatizo wa Roho
as a promise of the Father.
Kama ahadi ya baba.
But there is a background.
Lakini kuna usuli wake.
That background is whose baptism?
Ni ubatizo wa nani jamani?
Huh?
Wa nani?
Who was the first person who spoke about baptism of the Holy Ghost?
Ni nani
Jesus or John?
Kusema kuhusu ubatizo wa Roho. Yohana ama Yesu?
John. Good.
Yohana. Okay, vizuri.
Now, John
sasa Yohana
compared it with what?
Akafananisha na nini?
Huh?
Ehe.
What?
Nini?
With what? What did John compare baptism with the Holy Ghost with?
Je, Yohana alifananisha ubatizo
wa Roho. Let's look at it. Look at Matthew 3.
Hebu angalia kwenye Mathayo 3.
16 and 17.
Mathayo 3.
Mark 1:8.
Na Marko 1:8.
Mark 1:8.
Marko 1:8. Mention again, please.
Okay, Matthew 3:16 and 17.
Mathayo 3:16-17.
Mark 1:8.
Marko 1:8.
Can you see it?
Unaweza kuona?
Luke 3:16 and 17.
Af Luka 3:16-17.
Did you see it?
Umeona hiyo?
Was there a comparison?
Je, kulikuwa na ulinganisho?
Did you see it together?
Umeona pamoja?
Huh? But of course, in Mark 1:8 you will see fire.
Lakini je, kwenye Marko
1:8 you just wrote it there. There's no fire in that one.
Hakuna moto
but
pale.
It's the same thing.
Lakini ni kitu kile kile.
John 1.
Yohana 1.
32.
Mstari 32.
And 33.
Na 33.
He which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Did you see that?
Umeona hiyo hapo 32, 33. Anasema
kwamba Acts 1:5.
Na Matendo 1:5.
John indeed baptized with water.
Anasema Yohana ndio baptized kweli na maji.
Did you see that? Not many days and you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. You see, is everything there? Everything is there. So which means that baptism of water needs to be understood first. Before you understand the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Because they were used together. Now look at that verse 4. It says, wait, Acts 1 4, sorry. Wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. Now, it says, John truly baptized.
Ya kwamba Yohana alibatiza kwa maji.
From who did they hear it?
Sasa, walisikia kutoka kwa nani?
John.
Kutoka Yohana.
So we need to understand John first.
Kwa tunapaswa kumuelewa Yohana kwanza.
When we understand John,
tukimuelewa Yohana,
we understand what the baptism of the Holy Ghost means.
Tutaweza kuelewa ina maana gani ubatizo wa Roho
Mtakatifu. Are we good?
Je, tuko tumetangaza?
I like to give a background.
Napenda kutoa msingi wa jambo.
I'm not so intelligent, so I talk small, so that I go back, so that
I don't know.
Now look at Mark 1:3.
Angalia kitabu cha Marko sasa 1:3.
Mark 1:3.
Kitabu cha Marko 1:3.
The first description of John.
Anasema maelezo ya kwanza ya Yohana.
By Mark. Mark 1.
Kitabu cha Marko 1.
And verse 3.
Mstari wa 3.
It says the voice of one, right?
Asema, sauti ya mtu
that was there, crying in the wilderness.
Asema, eria inyikani,
prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Itengenezeni njia ya Bwana.
Make straight
yanyosheni mapito yake.
Is that it?
Unaiona hiyo?
That is Isaiah 40 verse 3.
Hiyo ni Isaya 40 mstari wa 3.
Now what is in Isaiah 40 verse 3?
Sasa ni kipi kipo kwenye Isaya 43?
Pay attention very well.
Weka umakini vizuri sana.
Isaiah 40 verse 3.
Isaiah 40.
If you read verse 1 and 2, it says, comfort ye my people.
Anasema ukisoma pale mstari ule wa kwanza na wa pili, anasema ya kwamba watulizeni mioyo, watulizeni mioyo watu wangu.
At that time Israel was in exile.
Kwa sababu wakati huo wana wa Israeli walikuwa utumwani.
They carried them into exile.
Walikuwa wamepelekwa utumwani.
So they were expecting God.
Kwa hiyo walikuwa kimtegemea Mungu.
To return.
Kuwarejeza.
And bring them back to the land.
Kuwarejeza katika nchi yao.
So when it says prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Wanaposema itengenezeni njia ya Bwana.
Make straight his path. Make straight his path.
Nyosheni mapito yake.
There's a voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Kuna sauti ya yeye aliyenyikani.
Now listen carefully.
Sasa sikiza kwa makini.
What does wilderness mean to Israel?
Ina maana gani, ilikuwa na maana gani nyika au nyikani kwa Israel?
When they left Egypt.
Walipotoka Misri.
On the road to where?
The
Are you there? Is that it?
Sinibu,
on the road to the
promised
land. So, if Isaiah is talking to Israel, God will bring you back. He will bring you back.
Mungu
when you read verse 4, verse 5, up to verse 9, and verse 10,
na mstari wa 10,
he said, Israel, behold your God.
Anasema, tazameni Bwana Mungu atakuja.
In verse 4, he said, they will see his glory.
Anasema kwamba, mtauona utukufu wake.
Into verse 5.
Kwenye mstari wa
5. Then verse 9 and 10 it says Israel behold your God.
Na mstari wa 9 na 10 anasema Israel tazameni Bwana Mungu wako.
Are you following this?
Unafuatilia?
Now,
sasa
Mark now says.
Marko sasa anasema
just that way. Just like that.
Kama ilivyokuwa
John is like that.
Yohana alivyokuwa. Maana anasema kama Isaya alivyosema ndivyo na Yohana.
If I take the story of Israel.
Kwa kama nikizungumza hadithi ama habari
in exile.
Wakiwa utumwani,
returning to God's promised land,
wakirejea kwenye nchi ya ahadi,
and I said it is just like John too.
Na Isaya anasema ni kama Yohana pia.
That is, wow, Israel was taken to the promised land.
Kwamba Israel walipelekwa kwenye nchi ya ahadi.
John is that voice.
Kwa Yohana ni ile sauti.
That means I am expecting the nation of Israel to look forward to what?
Kwa maana yake ninategemea taifa la Israeli
to look forward to what?
Kuangalia au kutegemea nini?
What? Let me say it again.
Niseme tena.
Isaiah 40.
Isaiah 40.
They were in exile.
Walikuwa utumwani.
And God is giving them a promise.
Na Mungu anawapa
ahadi. There's a voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Kuna sauti ya mtu aliyenyikani.
They are not in the wilderness.
Hawako nyikani. Hiyo nyika ni jangwani. Wako utumwani.
Exile means you are out of where you should be.
Utumwani maana yake uko nje ya mahali ulipaswa kuwa.
I mean, you've seen people go on exile.
Unaona watu wanakwenda
utumwani. We have a lot of African former presidents who used to be freedom fighters.
Tumekuwa na marais wa
Afrika ambao walikuwa. Like to say about our freedom fighters in Africa. After they finish fighting for the freedom, they now take our own freedom. I don't know whether that happened here, but that happens a lot. So usually they will go on exile. They will leave the country and go to somewhere else. Do you understand that now? So, you know when Jacob left with his children to Egypt, because hunger won't kill them. They went to Egypt to be sustained. That is exile. Is that exile? Economic exile. That is stomach exile. They didn't want to die at home. So it's better to stay alive exile. So they went to Egypt. And they were in exile. They were not just in exile. After a while, they were now in bondage.
Baada ya hapo sasa, okay, hawakuwa tu kwenye nchi ambayo sio ya
kwao. They were now in oppression.
Wakawa kwenye utumwa na kunyanyaswa na kuonewa.
So God rescued them, right?
Mungu akawaokoa kutoka.
On the night of the Exodus.
Katika ule usiku wa
Exodus 13:14-15.
Kitabu cha Kutoka 13:14-15.
But you know they didn't go directly into Canaan.
Lakini mnajua hawakwenda moja kwa moja kwenye nchi ya Kanaani.
By the time they were going back to Canaan,
wakati wanakuepo wanarudi Kanaani,
the land they had left for over 400 years. New people had occupied it.
Come again.
New people had occupied
watu wengine wapya wameikalia.
Worshiping other gods.
Wanaabudu miungu mingine.
Are you following what I'm saying? So now, they left Egypt. Let's assume Egypt is that door.
Tupate kufanya madhania kwamba Misri ni ule mlango.
The promised land is here.
Na nchi ya ahadi ni ile pale.
This gap is wilderness.
Kati ya hii sehemu wa
is that correct?
Hapa katikati.
So they have to journey into the wilderness to get to the land.
Wanapaswa kusafiri nyikani au jangwani kufika.
Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Very well.
Vizuri sana.
So within that wilderness,
so katikati ya hilo jangwa au nyika,
they cross the Red Sea.
Wanapita katika bahari ya Sham.
There were two waters they crossed. They crossed the Red Sea.
Walivuka bahari ya Sham.
Entered the wilderness.
Wakatembea katika nyika na jangwa.
When they were going to go into Canaan,
walipokuwa wanataka kuingia nchi ya
Kanaani, they crossed Jordan.
Wakavuka pia Yordani.
Now, if all I'm saying is strange to you,
kile ninachosema,
if all I'm saying is strange to you,
okay, kama ninachokisema ni cha ajabu kwako,
it means you are not be reading your Bible.
Manake usomi Biblia yako.
If all you know is, I am the righteousness of
kama
God.
Unajua tu mimi ni haki ya Mungu.
As he is, so am I.
Kama alivyo ndivyo nilivyo.
You don't even know the ease you are talking about.
Wala umfahamu huyo mwenye unayemzungumzia.
Oh, my father.
Oh, baba yangu.
The God is my father.
Oh, Mungu
you don't
baba
even
yangu.
Know the God you are calling your father.
Lakini umjui huyo Mungu unayemwita baba.
If you are not careful.
Kama uko makini.
When you see him on the road. If you are not careful, when you see him on the road, you say, hello.
Utasema, hello.
I want to go and see my father.
Nataka kuenda na kumuona babani.
He will say, I'm the one.
Atasema, ndio mimi.
You say, no, I don't know you.
Lakini sikufahamu najua.
Because you have never been reading the Old Testament.
Kwa sababu hujawahi kuona soma agano.
Are you following what I'm saying here?
Si unafuatilia ninachosema.
So this story, as I'm saying it, it must be ringing bells
here.
That they first came into exile, right? What took them out of exile?
Nini kichotoka kutoka kule katika
famine. There was famine in all the earth.
Kulikuwa na njaa duniani kote.
And they did not want to die.
Na hawakutaka kufa.
And Joseph was a prime minister in Egypt.
Na Yusufu alikuwa waziri mkuu kule Misri.
So God sent Joseph.
Kwa hiyo Mungu alimtuma Yusufu.
Before.
Kabla.
To ensure that they don't die.
Ili kuhakikisha kwamba hao watu watakufa.
No, so they were in Egypt.
Kwa walipokuwa Misri.
For let's say 400 years.
Tuseme kwa miaka labda 400.
In Exodus 1:7.
Kwenye kitabu cha Kutoka 1:7.
They now grew and multiplied.
Wakakuwa na kuongezeka.
They multiplied.
Wakazidi kuwa wengi.
Just like Genesis 1:28.
Kama vile Mwanzo
1:28. And replenished the whole place.
Wakajaza eneo lote.
But verse 8, Exodus 1.
Lakini msali wa nane
kutoka moja. A king arose in Egypt.
Akainuka mfalme katika Misri.
That did not know
Joseph. Ambaye hakumjua Yusuf.
Now, let's say he doesn't know Joseph.
Sasa anaposema asiyemjua Yusuf.
It doesn't mean that he didn't know who Joseph was.
Sio kwamba alikuwa amjui Yusuf alikuwa nani.
Like we say in Nigeria.
Kama unavyosema Nigeria.
He doesn't send Joseph.
Kwamba sikumtumia.
Doesn't send him. I'm teaching you Nigerian slang. Oh. He doesn't send him. Yeah. That means he has no respect for him.
So,
but he helped us. They would say, but that Joseph, he helped us survive. So, that's a long time. Is that why they should fill the whole land? Is that why they should multiply? Go and make their lives difficult. Go and make their lives difficult. After a while, he said, make it more difficult. He didn't change anything. He now says, kill their first male sons. Why did he say that? Because he knew the import of the firstborn. Kill their first male child. And then the midwives were very smart. They ensured the children were born first. So Pharaoh now asked, what's happening? Why are these children being born? I told you to kill them. They said they are Hebrew women. Before they said, the child has come. You know, that's really not what happened. So some people didn't know that verse now. So when they want to do cesarean section to have children, I will never have profession in Jesus. I'm an Hebrew woman. How can you, a Swahili, say you are an Hebrew
woman?
I'm an Hebrew woman. Many people have died because of this. The true story, was that they were covering up. You know, it's good to read your Bible properly. Let's go on. So they now oppressed them. They started killing the children. Moses arose.
Musa kainuka.
He was born.
Akazaliwa.
He was kept in the house of Pharaoh.
Akatunzwa kwenye nyumba
ya Farao. He grew up.
Akakua.
Listen again.
Sikia tena.
And when they found out that he wasn't one of them,
they
wanted to kill him. He also went into another exile. Are you following the exile story? And God now called him out of exile first. Is it to just go and meet his family and our fellowship?
Come again.
When God called him out of Midian, was it meant to just go back and meet his family and say, long time,
I've missed you, Miriam.
How many children do you have now? Was that why he went there? He went there on a mission. So a return from exile is a return to what? Mission. Are you following what I'm saying? Follow everything I'm talking about. So a return from exile is a return to what?
Mission.
He goes there. So I'm sending you to deliver Israel
and take them
to the land I promised their fathers. Is that very clear? So,
they
leave Egypt.
Wanatoka Misri.
Can we say they left exile?
Tunasema kwamba walitoka katika nchi ya kigeni.
Can we say they left exile?
Tunasema walitoka katika nchi ya kigeni au utumwani.
Did they enter into the promised land immediately?
Je, Ghafla tu waliingia katika nchi ya ahadi.
Did they enter immediately?
Je, waliingia ghafla tu?
They still went through the Red Sea.
Je, simnajua walipita katika bahari ya Shamu.
Then the wilderness.
Then wakapita katika nyika na jangwa.
For 40 years.
Kwa miaka 40.
It was meant to be less than that.
Ilikuwa inapaswa iwe michache
kuliko hiyo. For 40 years.
Lakini kwa miaka 40.
Now God told us why.
Na Mungu anatuambia kwa nini
wali. He said so that he will know what was on their hearts.
Sasa ili ajue ni nini kilichokuwa kwenye mioyo yao.
Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2 and 3.
Kitabu cha Kumbukumbu la Torati 8:3.
To humble them.
Kuwanyenyekeza.
Now listen carefully.
Sasa sikiliza kwa makini.
They now went through the wilderness.
Wakapita katika jangwa na
a lot of tests and trials.
Kukawa na majaribu na vipimo vya kila namna.
I said they crossed two waters.
Tukasema wamevuka maji aina ngapi? Mangapi?
The first water was what?
Maji ya kwanza ilikuwa nini? Bahari ya Shamu.
The Red Sea?
Bahari ya Shamu sio?
The second water.
Maji ya pili? Jordan.
Yeah, I read your Bible, Jordan.
Jordan.
So now that second water.
Sasa hayo maji ya pili.
Listen carefully. The first water they crossed.
Maji ya kwanza walio
was to enter into the wilderness.
Ilikuwa kuingia nyikani au jangwani.
The second water was to enter into where?
Maji ya pili ilikuwa kuingia wapi?
Huh?
Nchi ya ahadi.
Promised land. Are you okay?
Tuko sawa eh?
If you have a bottle of water, drink it quickly.
Kama una chupa ya maji,
drink the water first.
Kunywa maji kwanza.
So that as we are moving fast.
Ili wakati tunaendelea kwenda haraka sana.
You will not start feeling thirsty strangely.
Usio kaanza kuona utumbo una.
Drink the water, drink it very well.
Kunywa maji na kunywa vizuri.
Do some brethren can even bring Coke to church.
Kuna wakati mwingine watu wanaleta Coke kanisani.
Somebody brought tea.
Mwingine akaleta chai.
A vigil, a prayer vigil, tea.
Kwenye mkesha wa maombi akaja na chai. Ah.
Brethren are serious brethren. So Jordan.
Kwayo, Jordan.
So what does Jordan mean?
So nini maana ya Jordan?
Jordan mean we are about to enter.
Jordan manake tuko tunakaribia
kuingia. Enter where?
Tunakaribia kuingia nchi.
Enter what God has promised.
Kuingia katika kile ambacho Mungu amekiahidi.
Jordan also means we are returning from.
Jordan pia inamaanisha tunarudi kutoka.
Is that it? Does Jordan also mean God is bringing his people together? Are you following this at all? Let's do it again. When they crossed
Jordan,
let me go outside and say
Jordan.
This is Jordan. A very small Jordan. This one has no water. So I want to cross Jordan. This is the promised land. Right? So Jordan means we are crossing where? Into what? So when we cross Jordan, we step into God's promised land. Is that it?
We're
into God's promised land. Is it making sense?
Inaleta maana, sio?
Where did John the Baptist go to baptize with water?
Sasa ni wakati ni wapi ambapo Yohana Mbatizaji alienda?
Where?
Wapi?
Jordan. You know I said we need John to understand the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Yohana kuelewa ubatizo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
Is this making sense?
Hii inaleta maana.
But we have a small problem.
Lakini tuna changamoto kidogo.
Israel is still in Israel.
Israel wako hapo hapo Israel.
They have not left the land.
Hawajaondoka katika nchi yao.
Even though during Isaiah's time they were away, but they came back.
Hata wakati ambapo Isaiah anasema
walikuwa they returned.
Mbali walisharudi tayari.
So why would we now think?
Sasa kwa nini tunaweza kufikiri kwamba
going to Jordan,
kwenda Jordan
reminds us of entering God's promised land.
Kwamba inawakumbusha wao kuingia katika nchi ya ahadi ya Mungu.
Are you following what I'm saying? I'll use a small story.
Nitatumia story ndogo.
How many of us know about the story of independence of African nations? I don't know about the one for. I know I read the one for Tanzania, but I can't remember it again because I used to do a lot of this. But I know the one for Ghana and Nigeria. I can't remember Nigeria's own. Now, in Nigeria's own, Nigeria was amalgamated in 1914. They brought different groups together against their will and told them to come together, and somebody just gave it a name.
Na mtu fulani akawapa jina.
And that has been our name.
Na hilo ndio kawa jina letu.
So when they did that,
wakati walipokuwa wamefanya
hivyo, by 1922,
mwaka 1922,
they had what is called the Clifford Constitution.
Wakawa na katiba inaitwa Clifford.
Where they just allowed a bit of Nigerians to be part of government. I think to the level of local councils.
Ambapo wakaruhusu sehemu kidogo ya Nigeria kuwa katika serikali.
Then we move from there.
Tukatoka kutoka hapo.
Gradually
taratibu.
We had the MacPherson Constitution.
Tukawa na,
we had the,
na,
katiba nyingine. So Littleton was before MacPherson.
Tukawa na nyingine.
You can't remember again. Littleton, MacPherson. There was a third one. There has to be a third one now. The one just before the independence. A lawyer now. Uh-huh. Me, I'm not a lawyer like you. So we had so gradually.
So taratibu,
they started allowing Nigerians into.
Wakaanza kuwaruhusu wa Nigeria katika serikali.
So, but the head of the Nigerian government was still the Queen of England, and they still had a governor general at that point. I think the last one was what's his name again?
Bado mkuu wa Nigeria
alikuwa last Kandabana. Guy. Eh? Lugard was 1914. That's the last one. Robertson. Is it Robertson? Okay. They now had the last governor general.
Kukana
so eventually in 1960, they now handed over the flag.
Ndipo wakaruhusu kuwa na bendera.
Wakaikabidhi
bendera.
But at that point,
lakini katika wakati huo,
there were still things they didn't let go.
Come again?
There were still things they didn't let go. They were still taking permission.
Bado walikuwa wanachukua ruhusa kutoka kwa wale walikuwa watawala kabla.
If you go to court,
ukienda mahakamani,
and you get a decision,
na unapata uamuzi,
you can still appeal to United Kingdom.
Lakini bado unaweza kufanya kukata rufaa.
Do you understand? All that Uingereza. Was happening. But UK. Eventually in 1963,
lakini mwaka 1963,
we now had what is called the Republican Constitution.
Tukawa sasa na hiyo
katiba. That's where you can say jamuli. We now. They said, well, what they were telling us was they were trying to groom us into independence. So we're still, you know, giving respect to the Queen of England. And all that.
Or
by 63, Nigeria fully became a republic. Nigeria fully became a republic.
63.
So which means that even though you had independence, some of your powers were still with people. So Israel is in their land. But Rome is still running the show. Are you following what I'm saying? In fact, the present king,
Herod,
and his dad,
na baba yake,
they are Edomites.
They are
Edomites. Edomites are not Jews. So it's like a non-Tanzanian becoming the president. Maybe because
Tanzania.
He has cousins here.
Kwa sababu
he has lived here. He has worked here. So he naturalized as Tanzanian.
Becomes
your president.
Anakuwa rais wenu.
But that's why you say constitutions. I know the American Constitution says that if you are not born in America itself,
najua katiba ya Amerika inasema kwamba kama hujazaliwa Amerika,
that you can't be president.
Wewe si kuwa rais.
Not that you naturalized.
Yeah, lazima sio
not that you change citizenship.
Sio kwamba ulikuwa umebadilisha uraia ukawa raia wa
Marekani. Nigerian Constitution is also like that.
Na Nigeria inasema namna hiyo.
Is to avoid a foreigner from running your country.
Ni kuzuia mtu mgeni kuendesha nchi.
In Israel,
katika Israel,
Herod was not from the line of David.
Hakuwa ametoka katika ile ule
ukoo wa Daudi. He was an Edomite. Edomites are not Jews.
Waedom sio Wayahudi.
So he didn't care anything about the worship of God, nothing like
kwa
that.
Hakujali kuhusu ibada ya Mungu katika Israeli.
So he was king.
Kwa alikuwa mfalme pale.
They now had Rome.
Sasa wakawa na Warumi.
Pilate.
Na Pilato,
who came from Caesar.
Kwa
so he was also in charge.
Kuna ya likuwa pia mwenye mamlaka.
Their soldiers were in charge.
Na wanajeshi walikuwa na mamlaka.
Unfortunately too,
na bahati mbaya sana,
they did not have, of course, you don't have the king who has the Holy Spirit.
Hawakuwa na mfalme ambaye ana roho juu
yake. They now had all sorts of religious sects.
Walikuwa tu na hizi dini mbalimbali madhehebu katika dini yaliyo
mbalimbali. The Pharisees.
Kulikuwa na Mafarisayo.
Who were split into four denominations.
Ambao walikuwa wamegawanyika katika
madhehebu
manne. Kulikuwa na
Masadukayo. The Essenes.
Why Essenes?
Essenes. The Essenes. You also had the scribes.
Kulikuwa pia na waandishi.
You had the rulers of the synagogue.
Kulikuwa na wakuu wa masinagogi.
You had the priests.
Kulikuwa na makuhani.
You had the high priest.
Kulikuwa na
kuhani. Can you see that is a lot of confusion?
Unaweza kuona confusion ilivyokuwa.
So there was a whole lot of chaos.
Kulikuwa na fujo ya kutosha.
Are you following what I'm saying here?
Unafuatilia ninachosema.
So which means that the authority we read before are changed.
Kwa maana yake ni kwamba mamlaka tuliko tumeisoma kabla imebadilishwa.
So even though they were home,
kwa pamoja na kwamba walikuwa nyumbani,
were they in exile?
Je, hawakuwa kwenye nchi ya utumwa?
Were they in exile? What is exile? You are out of God's plan.
Kwa nini maana ya exile?
Let's follow what I'm saying this morning.
Maana yake uko nje ya mpango wa Mungu.
What is exile? You are out of God's plan.
Nini maana ya utumwa au nchi ya kigeni? Maana yake uko nje ya mpango wa Mungu.
When they were out of that land, when they were out of the land,
walipokuwa nje ya ahadi,
they were out of God's plan.
Walikuwa nje ya mpango wa Mungu.
So you can also be in the land,
kwa unaweza kuwa pia katika nchi,
but it is still not God's plan.
Lakini pia hauko katika mpango wa Mungu.
In fact, the temple of worship,
kimsingi hekalu la ibada,
which was still being built,
ambalo lilikuwa limejengwa,
they were buying and selling.
Walikuwa na uza na kuuzia.
Remember, Jesus said, "You have turned my father's house to a den of thieves."
Wamebadilisha nyumba yangu kuwa pango la wanyang'anyi.
So everything had turned upside down.
Kwa maana yake kila kitu kimegeuka juu chini.
Like fella in my country will sing. Fella in my country, fella. Fella Nicola Kokut is a singer, he's not a pastor.
Okay, come here, man. Music, fella.
Fella. Confusion break bonu yepa. Double wala for dead body. And the owner, so there was confusion.
Fujo,
who do we listen to?
Kwamba tunamsikiliza nani?
Is it the Pharisees?
Je, tunawasikiliza mafarisayo?
Even the Pharisees, which of them are we supposed
to listen to? Hata mafarisayo wenyewe nani maana wamegawanyika?
Or the Essenes?
Hawa ni hawa Essenes.
Or do we listen to the scribes?
Au tuwasikilize waandishi?
Or do we listen to the rulers of the synagogue?
Ama tuwasikilize wakuu wa
masinagogi? Or is it the priests or the high priests?
Au ni makuhani au mkuhani mkuu?
Who do we obey?
Nani tumtii?
Can we obey this Herod?
Au tumtii huyu Herode?
This impostor.
Huyo ambaye ni mtu ambaye amejichomeka
kwa. Became king by coup d'etat.
Ambaye amekuwa mfalme kwa mapinduzi tu.
Or is it Rome?
Au tusikilize na kutii Warumi.
So they were crying for what?
Kwa hiyo wakawa wanalia kwa ajili ya nini?
God come and save.
Mungu njoo utukomboe.
Are you following?
Unafuatilia sasa?
Come and save us.
Mungu njoo na utuokoe.
Come and rescue us from exile.
Njoo utuokoe kutoka.
Who's following what I'm saying here?
Nani anafuatilia inasema?
This is the background. If you miss this background and all you got is speaking in tongues, you will not understand what is happening. It's like you are watching highlights or watching the end of a movie and say, what an interesting movie.
Movie ya ajabu kiasi gani.
A movie of 10 parts.
Wewe umeangalia movie ambayo ni ya sehemu.
You now watch part 10.
Hapo wewe umeenda kuangalia part sehemu ya 10.
Towards the end.
Kule mwishoni kabisa.
When they are already showing the list of those who are the actors.
Majina ya watu ambao
Pastor Makairos as interpreter.
Mchungaji Makairos alikuwa anafasiri.
They were, you know, say, wow, what a movie.
Movie Tamsa.
What a movie.
Movie and I'm like,
you know, those who have been watching it from part one will look at you and say,
Wale ambao wamekuwa naangalia movie toka part sehemu ya kwanza.
Like we say in Nigeria, you the wine. Are you joking?
Unaleta utani wewe.
You didn't even watch it from the beginning. You don't even know why he took the mic.
What are we doing? Why?
You don't even know why he took the mic.
I
took it from, I think, a Chelsea fan.
I suspect.
Are you a Chelsea fan?
Wewe ni mshabiki wa Chelsea? Ninafikiri
wewe.
Yes. Mshabiki wa Chelsea.
I knew that was why he took the microphone.
Ndio maana
God, you people, you chase me to this place. My God will defend me. You know, you won't even know why. You just mean speaking in tongues. Then I say, why do you speak in tongues? So that Satan is confused. Are you not also confused? Are you following what I'm saying here? This background is necessary. There were many pools in Israel. Many pools. Remember what Naaman said in 2 Samuel 5.
Naaman alichokisema.
2 Kings 5.
Kwenye Wafalme wa Pili.
Is it 5 or 6? 6.
Sura 6.
Where he said,
akasema
When he went to Elisha to be healed, Elisha said he should go to Jordan. I mean, the man came with five SUVs. Jeep, five. With motorbikes. Like eight motorbikes. Security well guarded. And you now say he should go and have his bath in Jordan. Jordan is not where people have their bath.
Jordan.
You guys said there are many pools.
I mean,
come on, check your Google for me. There are five star pools. Why Jordan?
Kwa nini niende Jordan?
His servant says, sir. You know, just one bath. You have been carrying this leprosy for years. In all your swimming pool. In all of your swimming pool, did the leprosy leave you?
Je, kwenye bawa zako za kuogelea, huo ukoma ulikutoka?
It's just one bath. We'll clean up for you after.
Ni kuoga mara moja tu.
Why did he ask him to go to Jordan?
Tujiulize, kwa nini Elisha anamuuliza na anataka na maji aende Jordan?
Jordan means something.
Kwa sababu Jordan
in the history of Israel.
Katika
Jordan means something. Jordan in the Exodus of Israel.
Jordan
means something in the plan of God. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why he says you go to Jordan.
So
that he will remember the God of
Israel.
The moment he was healed, when he was healed, you know, he came back to give offering to Elisha. Elisha said he doesn't want. He didn't even see
him.
But Naaman now asked a critical question. He said, can I at least take the soil of where you are standing? So I will take it back with me. And I will worship no other God. What do you think happened to him? Jordan, where he got healed, was a reminder of God's power. What God did, he still does. What God does, he will still do. It was a reminder of the God of Israel, the Savior of the whole world. He said, I will serve no other God. Are you following this now? Because he was healed where? At Jordan. Where did Elijah live? And Elisha had
the same Jordan.
So Jordan, are you following this? So Jordan is not just a place in the Bible. It has a significant history in our knowledge of God, his purpose and his plan. Let me see if you are following what I'm saying here. I'm giving you a background. So John the Baptist,
Yohana Mbatizaji,
now goes to the wilderness. And he now goes to Jordan.
Na sasa anakwenda Jordan.
They are in the land.
Kwenye nchi hiyo
they are already in the land.
Wako kwenye nchi
they are not out of the land.
Hawako nje nchi.
But are they on exile?
Lakini je, hawako nje nchi?
Are they on exile?
Hawako utumwani?
Are they on exile?
Hawako utumwani?
How do we know?
Tunajuaje wako utumwani?
A king that God did not choose.
Mfalme ambaye Mungu hakuchagua.
Right?
Sindio, eh?
Do we have multiple denominations?
Madhehebu mengi mengi yalikuwepo.
Can we call it a confused religious system?
Ambao ulikuwa ni mfumo wa dini uliokuwa umechanganyikiwa.
Okay. Can we also call it a confused priesthood?
Tunaweza pia tukasema kwamba ni mfumo wa kikuhani uliochanganyikiwa.
Now a foreign government ruling over them.
Alafu na serikali ambayo ni inawatawala.
Is that an exile?
Je, hiyo huko sio utumwani?
Is that out of God's plan? So when John the Baptist now goes to
Jordan,
And he wants to baptize people.
Na anataka kuwabatiza watu.
And he says, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Anasema itengenezeni njia ya Bwana.
What is he saying?
Manake anasema nini?
God is about to do something new.
Mungu yuko tayari kufanya jambo.
Is that what John was saying? God is about to do something new. Can we say, he said, God is about to do another exodus?
Huh?
A new exodus. Are we here? And when there's a new exodus, a new king, a new priesthood, a new spiritual leadership, what about doctrine? What about worship? Are you all following what I'm saying here? Let me say it again. When John went to Jordan and he stood at Jordan, he's reminding of Exodus. Is he? God is about to do something new. God is about to do something new. Is that what he's saying? God is about to do something new.
Mungu yuko tayari kufanya jambo jipya.
Remember,
kumbuka,
just like Red Sea was parted,
kama ambavyo bahari ya Shamu iligawanyika,
Jordan was also parted.
Yordani pia ilifanya nini?
Now carry the ark.
Na wakabeba sanduku la.
Very different from
tofauti sana na
Red Sea.
Na bahari ya Shamu.
They carried the ark.
Walibeba sanduku la agano katika Yordani.
And they crossed it.
Na wakavuka Yordani.
Into the new land.
Katika nchi mpya.
So when John went to the Jordan, he said, God is about to do something. Number two, he said, God is here now. Just God is here. God is here now. 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 So this is the baptism of John. This is the baptism of John. It is not the water baptism. The water baptism is meant to be a signboard. A signboard. You know, this is a signboard. In 2024. Let me ask you a question. We can put it there and not come. Right? But we put it there so that people can come in here and know what we are about to do. So imagine imagine when we have finished the program. Then somebody should now come here and take the
anachukua bango pale
and say, I have the program.
Anasema sasa nina mkutano, come meeting.
You just be shaking your head. This one needs deliverance. This is the signboard. This is the program. The water baptism is a signboard. The coming of Jesus is the program.
Lakini,
did you hear what I'm saying? The water baptism is a signboard. The coming of Jesus is the program. If you understand that, can you shout hallelujah? So, you know, we are talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we have not gotten there at all. We want to see the background. God wants to do something new. So John begins to baptize.
He
said, there's one standing among you. He said, he's greater than me.
Ni mkuu kuliko mimi.
He is before me.
Amekuepo kabla yangu.
In fact,
asema,
this is symbolic.
That's okay. Ni
his shoes I cannot untie.
Asema viatu vyake, siwezi kuvifungua. Siwezi kufungua viatu, gidamu za viatu vyake.
Let him that is ignorant be ignorant still. His shoes I cannot
untie.
He said, he is before me. I must decrease. He must increase. And you say, John, this is your second cousin. Your mother and his mother are cousins. You were born before him. John says, I baptize with water. When he is come, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Which means, as I am introducing you to something God is about to do with this water,
he
will do it with the Holy Ghost. So which means the baptism with the Holy Ghost means that God is about to do something. What is he about to do? Let's begin to close here. We said that Jesus had given power to the four, to the 12. He had healed the sick. He had cast out demons. What is now unique in this one? What is about this one that is unique? It is what we are about to find out. And we will by the power of the Holy Spirit. It will apply to your country.
It apply kwa nchi yetu.
It will apply to your nation.
It apply kwa itatokea
katika nchi yako. It will apply to everything you are doing.
Itatokea kwenye kile unachokifanya.
Stand to your feet. Let's worship God. Come on.
Hebu simama kwa miguu yako tumwabudu Mungu.
Let's worship God. Worship him.
Tumwabudu Mungu.
Did you learn something?
Umejifunza kitu?
Did you learn something?
Umejifunza kitu?
Lift your hands and worship.
Weka mikono yako juu tumtukuze.
Oh Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
Bless his name.
Libarikiwe jina lako.
Thank you. Thank you.
Asante. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Baba.
We worship you, Jesus.
Baba.
Do you know the song? Who's like unto thee? Oh, Lord, who is like unto thee? I want to know your song.
Who is like unto thee?
Which of the saints from the church do you like? Songs you sing?
No, there's a pastor about that.
Not the spirit ones.
Pastor? Any song from
which ones do you want?
Which are?
Okay, what's your favorite song? Sing your favorite song, your best song. Sing your best songs. Me, I'll learn. You learning something? Our eyes will be open.
Eyes
is open. And the mission God has over your life will be clear to you.
Utakuwa wazi kwako.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost means something to our lives.
Una maana kwenye maisha yetu.
And our hands will lay hold on it.
Na mikono yetu itakamata.
At this time.
Katika
let's lift our hands and worship him.
Nyanyua mikono yako juu tumwabudu Mungu.